Hi, this is Reverend Kip Laxon. I'm the senior pastor at Muncie Memorial United Methodist Church in Johnson City, Tennessee. And this is my podcast of my weekly sermons. I've entitled this podcast, Preaching Now. Thank you for joining me, and I take you now to the live worship service at Muncie Memorial. Preaching Now with Pastor Kip Laxon.
When I was 11 or 12 years of age, my mother informed me and my brother that she was taking us to Christmas shop for my father. We went to the Pizzitz department store in Huntsville, Alabama. One of these great department stores downtown with several floors. They decorated to the nines for Christmas with trees and wreaths and Christmas music. Sometimes they had a group of carolers singing there as you entered. Different floors in the department store would be, of course, different departments. And we went to the third floor, and as the elevator opened, there was a man there in a suit and tie that he was the manager of the men's department, and we began to look around what we wanted to buy for Dad. We'd been talking about it in the car on the way, and I do not remember real clearly what my brother purchased. I texted and asked him, and he didn't respond. Maybe he doesn't remember either. I think maybe an electric razor or some handkerchiefs or something, but I remember what I picked out for my father. I decided I wanted to buy my father a tie. He wore a tie just about every day, and so they pulled out these big drawers that were just laced with all kinds of ties, and finally I picked the one that I thought looked like him, and we got it and chose it, and then we went to the customer service department when there actually was someone in the customer service department. And you delivered your packages, and then you took this little tag, and you waited till they called your number, and then you would come pick up your packages. And they would be wrapped exquisitely with the paper and the ribbons and the bows and the tag. And we took our bags, and we went home. I was so excited about what I'd gotten my father. I just was convinced he would love it. And when we stormed into the house after we got back home, my father was sitting in his recliner reading the newspaper, and we walked in with all the packages in the bags. He said, "Oh, you've been Christmas shopping?" And I said to him, "Yes." And I said, "I got you something, but I can't tell you what it is, but you wear it around your neck." I was so excited about what I'd gotten my father, I couldn't be like Mary and ponder it in my heart. I just had to tell it. I know my mother wished I could ponder it in my heart because she talked to us on the way home about not telling it, but I just couldn't tell it. He was so gracious and said, "Oh, well, I have no idea what that might be. I can't wait." You could tell by the box, you know, it was one of those long, narrow boxes, but I was convinced that he would know what that was. I just couldn't ponder it in my heart. Today, on this third Sunday of Advent, as we continue this sermon series for this holy season, What Child Is This?, asking the six questions of Christmas, we come to the perennial question that Mary asked. How can this be? Think about it for a moment. We've asked that question about many things in life. When something happens, tragic, how, God, can this be? When life has taken a turn that we weren't prepared for, how can this be? And then sometimes when amazing things happen and we're holding a newborn baby in our arms, how can this be? What a question she asked. And so what I would like for you to do with me this morning for a few moments is go with me back through this drama, back through this saga in the scripture reading today, this sacred reading about this moment in her life. It's as if it opens up like a three-act play, an unfolding drama. And here's the first act. The first act was the announcement. Seemingly out of nowhere, the angel Gabriel shows up in Mary's life and announces to her that she's going to give birth to this child. What an announcement. This annunciation, this announced moment, least expected by her, this simple peasant girl from Palestine, chosen out of God's providence, the angel shows up and says, "You're going to have a baby. You're going to be great with child," as the old King James Version put it so appropriately. What an announcement. But let's pause a moment and really think more clearly about what the angel actually said to her. You can follow along on the insert there in your bulletin. When the angel shows up, he announced this. He said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Greetings, favored one. the Lord is with you. What does he mean by saying to her, you are a favored one? Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. As if that's supposed to give her some kind of calm or assurance in the moment of this dramatic announcement. You know, around this time of year on television, and of course they have it posted on Netflix and things like that, there's always that famous Christmas movie called It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life. You may know it, you may not. It's about a man named George Bailey, played by Jimmy Stewart. It's an old black and white film, but still has a lot of color to it. George was a man who had a lot of dreams in life. He wanted to be an engineer and build bridges and cities and buildings and skyscrapers, but he never got to do that. He was living in a little town called Bedford Falls. And George becomes depressed around the Christmas season. He becomes depressed about his life. He doesn't think his life amounts to much, and he really hasn't done much. He really hasn't made much of a difference. And he is visited by an angel. I've always loved the angel's name, Clarence. Somehow, some way, I'm just amazed that that would be the angel's name. But then we're told we entertain angels unaware, so Clarence works, and Clarence comes to him, and he seeks to encourage him and show him his life, kind of in a technicolor of all the many things he's done, all the positive impacts he's had on people. And in one very poignant scene, Clarence, the angel, says this to George as he's trying to help him understand that his life really has mounted to something. His life really does matter. Clarence says to George, George, you haven't built highways and designed modern cities as you dreamed, but you have made a difference in the lives of people in Bedford Falls, and that makes your life worthwhile. Then the angel adds this, George, you are highly favored. This iteration is a play upon this biblical story where the angel comes to Mary and says, greetings, favored one. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. I'm not sure I fully understood that until a few days ago as I was trying to flesh out this old age story to try to find new ways of helping us understand it yet again. And I stumbled across something. I stumbled across the fact that this word favor, where the angel says, greetings, favored one, this word favor comes from a Greek word. The Greek word is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. And it's also the word in the New Testament that we translate grace. This is the word grace, also translated favor in this context, but in its actual Greek meaning, it means grace. Here's what the angel was saying to Mary. You are graced by God in an unusual way. When we think of favor, we think that God has favored her over others. That's not what it means at all. That's what I always thought it meant. Out of all the women in the world, God chose this one and favored her. Actually, what the angel was saying to her was, Mary, you have been graced by God for this task. And that caused me to step back, kind of take a deep breath, because we've all been graced by God in some amazing ways. We live in the United States of America where we can gather in this place freely and with great liberty and sing the great carols of the season and proclaim Jesus Christ has come. Look around you at your friends and family, the people sitting near you that you greet on a Sunday morning or the family that you will gather with over the holidays. We've received so much grace, and yet we take it for granted. We overlook it. And I think what the angel was really saying to Mary was, don't take this moment for granted, Mary. God has graced you. And may we this Advent season look around us and see the grace of God that is with us. The breath in our lungs, the ability to hug another human being, a greeting that comes out of our mouth like, Merry Christmas. What grace. We've been graced by God, just as Mary was. What an announcement of grace. And if Christmas is anything, it is God's announcement that God has graced the world, a world that is still besmirched by violence and death and war and destruction and darkness and disease and famine and pestilence and peril. But in the midst of that, I just described to you as well the world that Mary lived in. It was a world of war and violence and death and disease and pestilence and peril. And yet God graced that world just as God graces it again. I think it would be good as we're making our Christmas list and checking it twice that we might want to enumerate the many graces of God in our life. And as we enter this brand new year of 2024, that we would know God more in 2024. And how do we do that? By acknowledging the marvelous, extravagant grace of God that is upon us. What an announcement. Then, that brings me to the second act in this great drama. The announcement is followed by the anxiety. Put yourself in Mary's shoes for a moment. Here he is, the angel comes and says, you're going to have a child. And what does she say? You can hear it. It's just dripping with anxiety. How can this be, since I am a virgin? I weary of people who sometimes think that Mary was simple. No, Mary didn't know anything about quantum physics or the digital reconvergence or iPhones or texting or you name it. No, she didn't know anything about that. But Mary, she understood how life works. She understood how babies come into the world. And this was an honest question that she asked. Her anxiety level is rising every moment. The angel is standing before her because now, what's she going to tell her family? What's she going to tell Joseph? How's she going to explain this? How can this be? And we get anxious too about trying to explain this whole thing about Christmas. What we actually have before us, and I'm not being cute when I say this, what we actually have before us is deity in diapers. And how do you explain that? How do you explain that God is doing this in this child? I want you to notice something this morning. If you miss anything I say today, don't miss this. The angel responded to her question. When she said, how can this be? The angel responds to her, but note this. The angel did not tell her how. The angel told her who. How can this be, she said. The angel did not answer that question. He did not answer the question of how. Rather, he responded by telling her who. You see it? Look at it again. Right there in that scripture verse, verse 35, after she asked the question, how can this be? The angel says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God, for nothing is impossible with God. The angel didn't tell her how. The angel told her who this child will be. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the how, trying to explain it or figure it out in a way that will rationalize it in our mind, and we miss the who. So focused on the how, we miss the who this child was, who this child is. The Son of the Most High, the Holy. The Holy Spirit is in the midst of this. Nothing is impossible with God. And there the angel tells her who this child she is bearing will be. We, as the Church of Jesus Christ, who dare to proclaim Christ has come in the Advent season and in the celebration of the festival of Christmas, we mustn't miss the who it is that God is at work in the life of this child. And the third act in this unfolding drama, the announcement. Greetings, highly favored one, God is with you. The anxiety, how could this be, is then followed by the answer that Mary gives. What does she say? Even though she probably didn't have the explanation she wanted, and there was still some confusion about exactly what was happening with this holy child, this Son of God, this impossible possibility that was happening within her, her answer, her response, she says, here am I. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Let's put it in our language. Her answer, in spite of all of this, was simple. Here I am. Do with me what you will, Lord. Here I am. Have your way in my life. You see, the greatest Christmas gift we can give is the gift of ourself. Giving ourself to Christ. giving ourselves to the work of God to say, okay, God, I don't have all the answers to all the questions, but here I am. I give myself to you. Have you ever done that? Maybe you have and it's drifted from you, or you need to do it again. You need to rededicate yourself to that, to say, Lord, here I am. It's the greatest Christmas gift we can offer the Christ. It's the gift of ourselves to say, Lord, without strings attached and no reservations, I give myself to you. Here I am. Another tradition in my family when I was a kid was we'd wake up on Christmas morning, and as a family, we had the Santa Claus and the gifts. And then once we were finished with our family Christmas, later in the day, we would gather at my grandmother's house, and there'd be quite a brew there. All the aunts and the uncles and the cousins, sometimes numbering around 60 to 65 people, crammed in her house with all the food and the festivities and the gifts. Now, we didn't give each other gifts. There were too many of us for all to bring gifts for everybody. So what we did at Grandma's house is we drew names. They had a basket with all the names in it. And of course, this was done well before Christmas. And then someone would draw the name. And then you didn't know who had drawn your name. And so we kids, when we would get over to Grandma's house, we would go into the living room and look under the big Christmas tree that she always had tinseled out. She, from top to bottom, wanted it covered in layered tinsel. And these little lights that kind of bubbled on the inside as they lit up. Perhaps you remember those. I have warm fuzzies when I think about the tinsel and the bubbling lights. But we would look under the tree and see which gift had our name on it. Now, we could also see on the tag who had actually drawn our name and had brought the gift. Now, this is a moment of great confession. One of the reasons we kids went to look is because there was one person who would draw the name, and if you got that person, your gift was not going to be good. At least from a child's point of view, when you'd look under the tree and you'd see, oh, did that person draw my name? Oh my, then it just ruined Christmas for us as a kid. And I remember that Christmas I went, and sure enough, I looked under the bubbled lights and the angel hair and all of the tinsel, and she had my name. There was her name on the gift. Now, of course, all the other kids teased each other when they found out the one that was getting. What was in this box? Who cares? A bottle of witch hazel or something? It wasn't going to be anything we wanted. It never was. This person was the worst gift giver in the world, we thought. And I was complaining about it, and one of my aunts overheard that, and she said, hey, she said, you know now, Christmas is not about getting, it's about giving. And of course, I didn't want to hear that. That wasn't something I wanted to hear in my childhood understanding. All I wanted to do was have someone else having drawn my name that particular Christmas. But you know the lesson I've learned, don't you, over the years? Of course. It's the lesson that we still find hard to learn, even in adult life. That it is, if you're not giving, you're not living. And it truly is about giving. Giving of ourselves to Christ. So my prayer for you this Christmas season, my prayer for me, is that once again, as I marvel at the manger, and I behold the glory of the star, and the visit of the Magi, and all the rest that goes with this sacred season, that somewhere in the midst of the hustle and the bustle, I'll have the courage to come to him with empty hands and say, here I am. I give myself to you, Lord, to do with me what you will, to take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Do it. And if we do that together, it will transform Christmas entirely for us and all that God has for us in the days, weeks, and months to come. Here I am, Lord. I give myself to you. Let's do it. Let's do it together. And truly, the spirit of Christmas will live within us.